I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault but couldn't tell you. Yesterday you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
Hold it now, I'll watch a hoodwink. Does it make you stop, think? You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, although I like the shallots, because I like the sushi.
So did you get any time off? Did you take anything? I mean, I know you went to Whistler.
I did go to Whistler.
I know.
I went to Whistler with my buddies and my kids. And it was good.
But you got some time off.
That's cool. 3 days.
And you survived. You survived the holiday season. And some people don't.
Girl, barely.
Really?
I can't. I mean, whew. Let me tell you. I'm glad that I'm excited for a new year. I feel like, you know, as a kid, you love the holidays. And as an adult, you're just like, oh, my God. You know, every time you turn around, there's like somebody you forgot, something you need to buy, something you need to do. So, no, I'm excited that it's a new, like, I don't have to deal with this again for another 12 months.
Yeah. You know what I find that happens to me every year, let's bring it about me, and especially now is because I'm a chronic Christmas decoration buyer.
Oh, God, are you? Heidi does that. I hate it.
I can't stop.
Oh, God, it's the worst. She did this thing with the garland, but it was like, here's, right? So listen, I know this was about you. I have to make
it about me now.
I want to complain now. So we agree, right, that we're going to get a fake tree that we can reuse every year because I think it's, number one, depressing. When you kill a tree every year. And number two, like, it makes a mess. You know, the house is messy.
And it's
like,
a fire hazard.
It drives me crazy. Yeah, it's a fire hazard. That's another good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fire hazard. I'll tell her that. So then, so you know what she does? She goes out and she gets this garland that's made of freaking real Christmas tree branches. Mm-hmm. So some poor tree was stripped of all its branches and then she strung it up along the stairs. So you know what happened? All this crap just kept dying on the stairwell and we would trek it through the house. It was hell. It was pure hell. I hated it.
Well, I buy it because, okay, I'm turning Christmas decorations into this big global statement, but I go through this every year, and I think it's just the way I'm tired of waiting to live my life.
What the hell does that have to do with?
Because I buy stuff. Jeez. I buy stuff thinking, you know what, I'm going to buy this, and then when I get my place or when I get my perfect place, I'm going to put it up there. Or I'll buy, like, dishes. Like, dishes. I eat by myself with my two dogs every night. I never have people over, but I've got a serving for 20. come to my home. And seriously, I've got tablecloths and centerpieces and waiting for when the time comes, I'm going to invite people over.
Everyone does this. And when is the time going to come?
Exactly.
Well, you said it yourself, like waiting for the perfect time. But you realize life is utterly imperfect. You're imperfect. We're imperfect. Life is imperfect, which is, you know, you're waiting for everything to be perfect. Just like people do that. They do, you know, okay, well, when I lose 20 pounds, then I'm going to join Match.com. Oh, or when I lose 20 pounds, then I'm going to take that beach vacation. Or when this or that happens, then I'm going to go out and apply for that job. Everyone does it because they wait for when they're perfect or when they're good enough. And then, of course, because you don't get on with your life, you constantly feel like you're not ready to get on with your life. It becomes a catch-22.
Oh, it's become debilitating for me now. Like, I just, you know, I mean, I could get a nice little house. Mm. I won't be able to get a beautiful, you know, what are those things? Big
mansions?
Log homes with
oh,
the big,
log home?
You know, big high ceilings.
You
and,
want a log home?
Yeah, like a rustic log home. Just with a high and fire hearth and, you know, hearty. I can...
You're like Michael Landon on Little House on the
Michael,
Prairie.
A house like Michael Landon's is what I want. You know what I mean?
I do know what
so,
you mean.
So,
we've had this fight many times. Are you going to change?
Well, I can't afford the Michael Landon home. So I go... That's why I say I can't afford it. So I go, oh, then I'll just keep my things in a box. I'll just keep my setting for 50.
But why does everything have to be perfect? Why does it have to be a mansion? Like, why can't it just be, like, good enough? Why can't you be where you're at? That's life.
Because I have a fantasy. I have a fantasy about how I want it to look.
You have an insecurity that if it doesn't look that way, no one will love you or won't be good enough or no one will want to come to your house for dinner.
No,
yes,
no,
you
Jillian.
Do. If they're not coming to the Michael Landon house, then they're not going to want to come over or they're not going to enjoy their time.
No, I lived in a little tiny guest house in Malibu for 6 years and a couple people came over. It was quite lovely.
How often?
Maybe 3 times.
Okay. That's pathetic.
But it was a cute little... I would
for
love that
6 years, you had people come over 3 times. Every 2 years, you had people come over.
I mean, about that.
Right.
But I love that little place.
Dude, you need to get to a place where it's good enough. You constantly don't feel like it's good enough. It's good enough for people to love you, for you to start dating, or, you know, it's not, you are this way all the time. You always have been, and it does stop you from moving forward. And here's the thing. Life is now. It's not 10 pounds from now. It's not 20 pounds from now. It's not $1 million from now. It's right now. And you just have to take a chance and hope that you're good enough and your world is good enough to have loving people in it. And the other great part about this, Janice, is that if you do invite people over to wherever you are right now and they don't want to come or they don't like your place, well, super. Get rid of them. Now you know, not quality friends. People have to love you now for who you are.
Would you come over for tea?
No, but we already know that I don't like you.
No, I know.
But the thing is, like,
I just put you on the spot because I knew you'd say no. It makes me laugh.
Well, no, but I mean, there are people out there who will like you. I mean, I'm not one of them per se, but like, there are people out there who are very charitable and who would like you.
No, it's true. I just, I am incredibly paralyzed by it. I got to admit.
I know. And where does this come from? All of this self-loathing and like, deep-rooted insecurity. And then you get into this thing where you feel like you should be farther along. So, of course, you don't do anything at all. If it's not 100%, then you don't engage.
Yeah.
It's never going to be 100%. How do you ever think it's going to get to
100%? Do you think your life is 100%? You're living, you live large.
Oh, God. Have you seen me? I mean, I'm a car crash. A car crash. I like, literally... My life is a constant car crash. I'm terrible at everything. Everything's always falling apart. I try to do 100,000 things and
that's
none of them are done
bug.
Well.
How could you say
that's true, dude? I'm a crap mom. I'm a crap businesswoman. I'm pretty much like I do my best at it, but it's like I'm crap at all of it all the time. I try. I do my best and sometimes I get it right, But a lot of times I get it wrong. And that's okay. I don't deny that I get it wrong. I'm like, oh, I got that wrong. All right, better work on that. And I move forward. And this is who I am. I don't try to hide it. You know, I work on it all the time and I'm open about it. It's like, look, I screwed this up. I screwed that up. I was selfish here. I'm struggling with this. I'm selfish there. And that is what it is, man. But it's like you got to fundamentally be okay with that. You have to like you. That's your problem. You don't ever like you. So you never, ever think anyone else is going to.
No, I think so. I think they're an odd person. Would care for me.
Then why don't you put yourself out there?
Oh, I don't mean in the love thing.
Why?
I just mean coming over for a cup of tea.
Oh, my God. You're so screwed up. That's a reach for you, having somebody over for a cup of tea?
Well.
But what are you going to do? We need to talk about action plan here. Like, we can, it's like, oh, love yourself more. Oh, get comfortable. You know what you need to do? You need action. You need to actually take a step and get uncomfortable and invite people over so you can see that you can have fun even though you're not in Michael Landon's house, that they will enjoy you even though you're not, you know, winning an Emmy for Little House on the Prairie. I mean, do you know what I'm saying, though? That's how you do it. You start, like, with people that have trouble setting boundaries, you say no on a little small thing and see that no one runs away, no one leaves screaming, people still love you, they're still in your life, and then it gets easier every time to say no. You go out on that first date, so it's like, okay, you know, it was uncomfortable and it was weird, but I survived. Or, wow, that was awesome, let me do that again. But once you start stretching that emotional fabric, it becomes okay. I'm not going to pretend like it's easy. I don't think it's easy for a really long time. I have been able to hide behind things, you know? I mean, you wonder, all right, you can put on a really good front of I live here or I drive this car or I'm successful at this. And what would happen if you didn't have all those things? Would people still want to be your friend? Would they still be attracted to you? Would they still... But the reality is, Janice, it's so ugly underneath all that crap no matter what. That no, people are going to see it sooner or later. Does that make any sense?
No, it does. So for you, I mean, not that I'm trying to deflect off me in a slight way I am, but in, for you, when you just go, oh, my God, I'm happy. What is it? What is it that all of a sudden, you know how sometimes we're in the day we just go, oh, my God, I'm happy.
Yeah. I'm happy when work is stable. And that's because I feel like this is not necessarily the greatest thing in the world. But a big part of the way I was raised, I'm very like, I just need to know that I never need to rely on anybody for anything, which is terrible. And so as long as work is good, I'm like, no matter what happens, I can take care of me. So no matter who leaves or you leave or this falls apart, I got myself. And if I've got myself, I know everything's okay, which is terrible. But in addition it's kind of interesting. You grow up and you understand your parents in such different ways. Because now I have sort of understand my dad in ways that I never could before. Mm-hmm. And I often feel like Atlas, just you holding up the world. You know, I have a staff that I employ and like all these people that work with me and my kids, my family, my extended family. And so when I know that I'm okay financially or like things are stable with work, I'm like, okay, you know, I can hold it all together, which is a terrible thing to say, but
no, but it's the foundation.
Because I feel like I've got the family in place. So now I can take that for not for granted, but I'm like, all right, I love my kids. I have, you know, a great person that I share my life with. So that's solid. So the thing that causes me real stress is not being able to take care of everybody in my world.
Right.
So when I'm like, this is good, like everything's on plan, because I sort of have like, okay, I'm going to work this long and I'm going to get to this number. And then I know I can continue to take care of all these things and then just like, you know, just do charity work. That's my goal, is to get to that place somewhere in my like early 50s, which is not the point. Let's go back to you. And why, Janice, like, where does this come from, dude? Where does this fundamental insecurity come from that, like, you won't be lovable or you have no value unless you're perfect?
I don't know. I couldn't. I mean, like, off the top of my head, I don't know. It's just, it's you know, probably partly the way I was raised, you know.
Yes, and then you need to go back and look at that and all those things that made you feel that way. You got to look at, all right, probably where that's coming from is that your parents felt insecure. And they felt like they needed to put their best foot forward and present a perfect image to the world. So then you took that on and felt like if it wasn't perfect and this or that or the other, it wasn't okay to put out there. But of course, nothing's perfect. So yes, you are paralyzed. So what you need to do, dude, is take a step. Literally, you've got to just do it right now. Like, reach out to some people. Who are we going to call? Let's call one of your buddies and invite them over. Let's do it. Pick somebody. And don't pick your sister. That's cheating. Give me a phone number now or sign up for Match.com.
I'm not doing Match.com. I will phone my yoga.
No, you'll do it now.
If I had my book,
Now! Pick up your phone and put it on speaker.
Engineering-wise, we can't record it.
Pick up your phone.
Yeah.
Get your phone. Okay. Put it on speaker. Is that a flip phone?
I don't know how.
Oh.
You have a flip phone?
You have a 1992.
You have a, is that a Sidekick that she's got?
No. No, but it's something similar, scary.
You, oh my God. Does that antique have a speaker phone thing?
I don't think so. Oh, hang on.
Is my phone?
Okay, good. Now, call someone. Okay. Don't call your sister.
No, call from my phone.
Hang on.
So. They won't answer from your phone. Who are you calling?
Send.
No, not send. Call.
I am.
Oh, good. Who are we calling?
My friend.
What's their name? Name.
Hello.
Hello.
Who is it?
It's Jake.
Jake.
You ass. You called Jake.
Oh, are we recording? Who is this? Is this Janice?
Hi, Jake. It's Janice. Would you like to come over for some tea?
Well, I would love to. Thank you.
This is creepy.
This is dumb. This is stupid. And you're not going over to her house for tea? She's like the creepy old man. Like a Family Guy that like molests little kids.
Want some popsicles?
Yeah.
He's not even
Hey, little boy. What are you talking about? I can't let you go over there. Call an adult.
I'm not a pervert. I don't, honestly.
She doesn't know anything.
Call somebody. Now. Dude, do you want to change or do you want to be a mess the rest of your friggin'?
All right.
Do you want to die alone or do you want to change? Do you want to do Match.com or do you want to call somebody right now?
Okay. Hang on. Speaker off. Ooh, speaker on.
This is pathetic.
I can't believe this. You see this?
You have to do this because our listeners are going to do it too. If you don't do it, then they're not going to do it.
I'm calling my friend Kathy.
Is that your sister?
No, my sister's Janine.
Okay, I need it. Give me the phone.
Hi, this is Kathy. I'll call you back as soon as I can.
Son of a bitch. Give me the phone. Give it to me now. Okay. Hang on.
Talk into the phone, Jill. The mic will get you.
Okay, got it.
To leave a callback number, press 5.
Okay. It didn't beep. Hey, Kathy, this is Jillian Michaels. Listen, I have a question for you. First of all, have you ever been to Janice's house? Okay, second, if you haven't, could you go? And also, would you call back, please, as soon as you get this? What's his phone number?
No, she knows.
Oh, does she know your number?
Yes.
Okay, can you call back on Janice's phone? Thanks so much. And look, if you don't like her, can you do me a favor and just fall on the sword for the purposes of my listeners and our show? Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Okay, I don't know how to hang up your antique phone. And leave the antique phone here for when she calls back, please.
Okay.
Out in the open. All right, so for those of you listening, I need you to do the exact same thing. Think about something that you've been putting off, whether it's signing up for Match or inviting out the friend or whatever it might be, and literally pause this and do it. Just do it. Life does not begin tomorrow or the next day or this or that. You know that day never shows up. It only gets better when you change your mind and you get brave and you take a risk and you reach out. And if you get rejected, so what? You're not going to die. And it could just work out, damn it. There.
Gone and close the curtains, 'cause all we need candlelight, you and me, and a bottle of wine, and I'll hold you tonight.
Okay, this next one is about kitchen essentials that will help you keep slim.
With the utensils, did you say?
Essentials.
Oh, essentials. I thought you meant...
Although they are kind of utensils.
Okay.
So you're going to build a little toolbox. Are you ready? Kitchen. It's going to sound kind of tedious, but I'm gonna explain, and it won't be at the end of the segment.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Number one, kitchen scale. You got to get a kitchen scale.
Ugh.
No, but here's why,
dude.
It seems
so tedious to me.
I know it does, but it takes 2 seconds if you're cooking at home. Because here's the thing. If it doesn't have a food label on it, right? You're making a steak or something. Well, and your little book says, okay, there's, 300 calories for 5 ounces of X cut of meat. Well, you can't eyeball what that looks like.
No.
And it's so stupid to say, oh, well, it's the size of your fist. It's the size of, an ounce is the size of your thumb. Have you ever heard that one? The thing is, I've gone along with that because it sounds cute, but my business partner's hand is about 3 times the size of mine. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't make any sense. And the thing is, with having a kitchen scale, you don't need to do it all the time. If you do it for 1 or 2 weeks, because we're creatures of habit. We eat the same 20 friggin' foods despite all the thousands of options that are out there. You start to be able to eyeball portions. You're like, okay, that's about 3 ounces because you know what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you got to weigh your food when it's raw because it cooks down in size, but it still has all the calories. So you got to weigh the meat when it's raw. Does that make sense?
It does, but it doesn't make sense why it makes sense.
When you cook a piece of meat down, it shrinks in size. So you might go, okay, I weigh it when it's cooked and it's 4 ounces of chicken, but it's really 5 ounces of chicken. It has the calorie allowance is for the meat when it's raw.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you measure it when it's raw. And then when you go out to restaurants, you can look at a portion and go, okay, that's about, 6 ounces of chicken. And it helps you keep track of what you're eating.
Okay.
So it's not only good for when you're cooking at home, but it's also really important for when you're eating out because it gives you a frame of reference.
Yeah.
All right. The next one. This is so easy. Get a pack of measuring cups. Don't think that you can just pour your cereal into a bowl and go, that's exactly 1 cup of cereal. No.
Oh, God.
Janice, keep it in the box.
Kill myself.
Why? Put a measuring cup in the cereal box. It's so easy. And then scoop, put it in. That's how you're going to, because then don't come to me and go, I've plateaued. I can't lose weight. You have no idea how much you're eating. It's not that hard. It's easy. A thing of measuring cups, man. Piece of cake. Here's a cup of milk. Boom, in the cereal. Here's a cup of cereal. It takes 10 seconds.
No, what? It's true. It's just
lazy.
Oh, just
lazy, McGee. God. Here's another one. An oil mister. This is so easy. Like, if you don't have titanium pans or iron pans, which, by the way, still need an oil mister, there's really only one pan that's non-toxic and non-stick, and they're titanium, but they're expensive. You don't want to use even what's the Teflon ones. You don't really want to use those because if you heat the pans above a certain temperature and if they start to chip, then they can be toxic.
Yeah, you grow a fin in your back. All of a sudden, you're part fish.
Is that where you got that from?
I don't know, but
okay.
No,
okay.
No, but I know.
Is that what happened to Janice?
I stopped using Teflon pans because of what you said about that.
I know. I use iron, but the thing is, you do need some oil for iron. So
get
an oil mister. It's so easy. It's like you just, and then you cook your food in it. It helps you control.
Instead of
pouring it on, man. Jeez.
Yeah.
Oil mister, piece of cake. Another one. Get a steamer. Steamer is a great way to prepare your foods. And it's not expensive. If you can't get an actual food steamer, get one of those little silver colanders that you put
Old school.
Yeah, dude. Piece of cake. It's cheap and easy. And it allows you to save a ton of calories on your cooking methods because you don't have to fry it or saute it. Another big one, get an herb mill. Have you ever seen these? They grind up fresh herbs. It's really cool. They shred fresh herbs.
Oh, like the old tea
grinders. Yeah. And so you get all the health benefits of the herbs. And it also keeps you from flavoring your food with fattening sauces or salty or sugary sauces. Herb mill, awesome. Coolest little gadget. I love it. I got it in a Christmas stocking. And at first I was like, what's this? Where's my chocolate Santa? Super pissed about it at first. I gave Heidi the side eyes with the herb mill. I was like, this is dumb.
Side eyes.
Because, you know, she's like a gardener. So I was like, I don't understand exactly what you're trying to say. Like, you want me to garden or you want me to cook? But where's my friggin' chocolate sand? And then I was like, well, now I'm stuck with it and I have to use it because I want her to feel good about it.
And it's handy dandy.
It's neato. And you can blend herbs. It's radical. Okay, next one. Okay, get a muffin tin. And this is not so you can make muffins, but it's a great way to make things that are fattening in small sizes. So, like, if you're going to make a quiche, you put it in these little mini muffin tins, and then it's portion controlled. Or you can make little pies or little brownies, but it's not a ginormous piece of pie.
Yeah.
So we also use it for kid foods. We make, like, little purees and stuff, and we store them in there for the kids. But it's pretty, you know, it's good, right? No?
Yeah.
And, you know, here's another really easy tip. I do this all the time. Dab off your food if you're out to eat. Even though you might tell them, make it dry. Oh, you were going to say something. You looked inspired.
No, because I pat food. I do pat food in
with
in
a paper napkin.
Yep. All the
you
time.
You can save up to 200 calories doing that. That's a lot. Especially if you
Is it really 200 calories?
Dude, think about how much oil you can pat off in the course of a day off of your food if you're eating out. If you save 200 calories a day, 7 days a week, that's a freaking half of a pound almost.
Yeah, I totally.
Darn near.
Totally do that.
I do, it like, because, you know what, I have to go, you go at a breakfast and you get the omelet and you say make it dry and it's saturated in oil. Dab it off.
I've never heard make it dry. I've never heard that
Well, you
before.
Tell them dry, like as little oil as possible. Cook it dry, dry.
Oh, I didn't know
Here's
that.
Another one for you. Chill, like if you're cooking or ordering, if you make, like Heidi makes this chili dish, you know, one of the things we'll do is chill it. Scrape the fat off the top of it, and then you know, so you've cooked the meat in there or whatever, but then it, like, the fat comes out of it, chill it, the fat comes to the top, and you just take it out. You can do the same thing with, like, store-bought soups, gravies, chilies. Chill it and pull that congealed fat off the top, and you've taken a ton of calories off of it.
Yeah, when you make your homemade chicken or turkey soup, that's
chicken
right.
or turkey soup.
Yeah,
chicken.
Yeah,
chicken. Now what?
That was very good. You know what we should do now?
Oh.
We need to talk to some folks.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
I will.
All right.
All right.
Kiss me out of the bearded barley nightly beside the green, green grass. Swing, swing, swing the spinning step. You wear those shoes and I will wear that dress. Oh.
Okay, we are back, and Mara is waiting to talk to you.
Yay! Hi, Mara. What's up?
Hi, Jillian. Hi, Janice.
Hey.
I have a question.
Yeah.
And it is that I am about 5'3", anywhere between 110 on a good day, all the way up to about 120. and I just have kind of skinny legs and not really a very big booty, and I would like it to be a little juicier.
Okay.
So when
okay.
I gain weight, it all goes in my midsection.
Yeah.
And I just want to know what I can do to maybe alter my shape, if that's even possible.
Okay. It's possible, but not going to be easy. So when you gain weight, you're gaining, to put this delicately, fat. That's why it's going to your midsection, because the way that your hormones or your hormone balance essentially has been established, you have maybe a little more testosterone than estrogen, which is not a bad thing, but a more estrogen dominant female keeps her weight in her lower body, her hips and her buttocks, and
okay.
a female that has a little more testosterone, which again, good thing, is going to carry it more in her tummy, like more like, you know how men tend to carry more weight in their belly? This is why women fall under the categories of like, oh, I'm a pear, I'm an apple. Men don't do that. They're all apples. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So if you're going to gain fat, then yes, that's where your body's going to put it straight away. It's not going to go, hold on, let me slap some fat on the back of your ass. No, I wish. If I could do that, oh my God, I would have boobs all day long. Oh my God. And I would have the face, a little plump face like a 20-year-old. But instead, it's just like, it sprinkles itself all over my thighs. It's the worst thing ever. So you cannot tell your body where to lose fat or where to gain fat. But here's what you can do. You can try extremely hard to build muscle. It's not going to be easy because you don't have as many androgenic
muscle building hormones that a man does as a female, nor do we have as much muscle fiber as men do. But we can still gradually, with a tremendous amount of effort, put on some muscle. So here's what you need to do. You will need a calorie surplus. But the way that you make it turn into muscle and not fat is by controlling how much excess calorie you take in, calories, and by exercising with heavy weights so that you're doing what we call calorie partitioning. So you're sending those additional calories to rebuild and repair muscle instead of get stored as fat. That's how bodybuilders get big. They eat a ton of food, but they're lifting really heavy weight. So bodybuilders aren't fat. They're all muscle. Well, the way they become all muscle is they eat all those calories, but they lift really heavy. So all of those calories go towards muscle growth. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
So what you want to do is you want to eat about 10% more than you're burning in a day. So if you're burning 1,800 calories, then you would be eating 1,980 calories. Does that make sense? If you're burning 2,000, you'd be eating 2,200. So it's just enough so that you're not packing on body fat, but you're giving that just that little excess so that you can start to rebuild the muscle. Now, what you also need to do is be lifting that lower body with heavy, heavy weight. Mind you, I don't want you getting injured. I don't need you using poor form, but you need to be doing like weighted step ups, like deep squats, you know, with weight, lunges. Go back to the basics. Hit the basics. Like, I don't like people doing crazy multidimensional body weight training or dynamic dumbbell stuff when they're trying to bulk, because you don't want to be swinging a 40-pound weight around. You know what I mean?
Right.
But and mostly, like, I talk about how to get lean and functional, but when we're talking about actually packing on muscle, it's okay to go back to the basics and hit them hard with good form. So squats, weighted. Step-ups, weighted. Lunges, weighted. Deadlifts, weighted. I don't really want to see you doing, like, leg extensions on a machine or hamstring curls, because they're not really functional. As in, like, you don't ever in life artificially isolate a muscle and then train it. Now, if you did do it, I would have you work it into your routine where you would do it in a superset. So, for example, you might do heavy leg extensions to bulk the thighs a little bit and then get off and finish with squats where you can recruit some extra muscles. The idea here, heavier weight, lower reps, resting in between your sets so that you're in a more muscle-building state. It's like the exact opposite that you would want to do during weight loss. And with the quality of your food, don't eat crap. So, like, you're not going to build muscle eating Cheetos. You know what I mean? You need protein. So make sure that you're getting, like, at least a gram of protein for every pound of body weight. So if I'm 115 pounds, that's 115 grams of protein times, and every gram of protein is 4 calories. So I'm at about 460 calories worth of protein a day when I'm eating around 1,800. So that's like my minimum. Does that make sense? Because it should be like 30, 40. And you want to make sure you're getting at least that much protein, because you need the amino acids in the building blocks. Healthy fats and carbs are also important. I'm just giving you a minimum on your protein.
Okay.
It will, and it was going to take you a long time. So be patient.
All right.
Stick at least 6 months.
Well, at least that's honest, instead of like some infomercial that says I can get a butt like, I don't know, some random celebrity with an awesome butt in like 6 weeks, you know?
Not if you're trying to build an ass. Like, you're trying to, you know, firming up your butt, sure, but you're trying to build an ass. So that means you gotta, like, you gotta put some muscle on, and, you know, for a little scrappy girl.
It sounds like you're telling Mara how to build an arc.
You're trying to build an ass.
She's trying to. An ass is far more important. Who needs an arc these days?
No one.
An ass. Everybody needs one of those, especially a young girl. She can do a lot with that ass. You need. I understand you. Janice is old. She remembers those biblical days when arcs matter. But for you and me, we know it's all about the jungle cakes.
Jungle cakes?
Jungle cakes.
Oh, my God.
The booty.
We're
where'd you get that
from? Bob, I actually got it from Bob. And I've been passing it off as my own. Jungle cakes.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, and you know what else, bud? I'm going to send you killer buns and thighs.
Really?
Yeah, that's but remember, amazing. There's no... Here's the problem. There's no heavy weight in that. So it's going to be great because you're going to like you're gonna tone, but if you want to build, it's not a builder. So on the days you do that, it'll teach you like some great exercises. Maybe take them to the gym and add weight to them because okay. It's for shredding, not building. It'll firm it up, but you want some size there. You're going to need the calorie surplus and the heavier weights.
All right.
All right, kid. Janice great. Will call you back and get your info.
Yeah, I'll call you back, Mara.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Yeah, build an ass. What's your problem?
All right, Vanessa is waiting to talk to you.
Hey, Vanessa, what's up?
Hey, Julian, how are you?
I'm good, bud. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Just wanted to say, first of all, I'm a huge fan.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So just to give you, like, a condensed version of my question.
Okay.
I've had, you know, weight issues since, you know, since I was a teenager and even through my college years. But the last couple of years, I've really... you know, gotten focused and trying to get my weight off, and especially the last year or so, I've kind of, you know, been listening to your podcast and like religiously, and you know, going through the whole weight loss and the diet thing, and I'm really now I'm actually down to the point where I'm down to my last 10 pounds of weight that I really want to lose before I say I'm good.
Wow, good for you, sweetheart.
Yeah, thanks. And I guess one of the big things right now that my question is. You know, I don't know if this is too TMI, but really one of my bigger issues right now is that time of the month, you know, when Mother Nature comes to call, you know.
Ugh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm being over dramatic when I talk about it, but I always think that I get it worse than the average female because I literally feel like someone sticks a straw in me and sucks every ounce of energy out of my body.
Mm, okay.
And apart from that, I also get the anxiety. I know it comes from the hormones, but then I also get night sweats. Blood pressure actually goes way down during the day to the point where I almost can't even move, and
here's what you need to do
anemic.
Immediately. You need to go see your endocrinologist, or you could see your gynecologist as well. Both can deal with this issue. Like now. So, you know, the reason it's kind of funny because Janice had said, you know, there's this call and it's not really your area of expertise. And I was like, no. We have to take this call so I can yell at her for calling me about this issue. So here's the thing, sweetie. You know, obviously, first of all, fat is a huge hormone synthesizer. It functions like a hormone in our body. It controls a host of different biochemical responses, losing weight, gaining weight, chemicals in food. All of these things over the course of a lifetime can literally wreak havoc on your biochemistry. So, you know, if you look at something like PCOS, it's related to type 2 diabetes and being pre-diabetic and all kinds of thyroid hormone issues and this and that and the other. All of these things can affect a woman's monthly cycle. You're beyond, like the kind of things you're telling me are beyond me saying, don't drink before your period and make sure to reduce your sodium and, exercise and, you know, because those things, yeah, if you want to reduce PMS symptoms, exercise, low sodium, getting rid of alcohol, come on, Jillian, and primrose oil is actually a great one. I actually learned this, from a very well-known breast cancer doctor here in Los Angeles named Dr. Christy Funk. I worked with her a couple times on The Doctors. She's the one that helped Sheryl Crow. And she's told me several times, primrose oil. But this is not what we're talking about. You're beyond, like, I get PMS real bad. I'm bloated. I'm not happy. So you very well may have ovarian cysts. There could be something going on with you. Whenever you're experiencing symptoms like this, you need to go to the doctor, honey. You need to go to the doctor just so you can rule it out.
I think the problem is that when I talk about this, no one really seems to believe me. I think people think I'm just like being overdramatic about it.
Oh, God. You know, I heard that very recently from someone. Damn it. Oh, you know what? It was a caller on our show who had rhabdomyolysis. Remember? And the doctors were like, you're fine. And like, it's life-threatening. And a nurse goes, oh, my God, I think you have rhabdo. And they checked her into the hospital and she almost died. You're not crazy. I've heard this a lot from a lot of different people whose doctors are, oh, you're fine. Go to an endocrinologist and have them run your blood work. You need to have them check for cysts, have them run your blood work, look at your thyroid, look at, you know, everything, all of it, up and down, left, right, sideways. Where do you live?
I live in New Jersey.
Oh, damn it. I can't send you to Vector Van Hurley. She's my go-to. Shoot. All right. Do me a favor. Maybe call Dr. Van Hurley's office and ask them for a referral in your area.
Okay.
So, you know, or call your gynecologist and ask for an endocrinologist, a referral. Because that's the other problem. You'll call some doctors, and you know something? Like, look, I mean, I will worship at a doctor's feet. Dr. Van Hurley, I worship her. Anything she says, it's like the voice of God sometimes, you know? With that said, there are bad people in every profession, and there are a lot of doctors who practice medicine. They have no business practicing. You know, there was a doctor on The Biggest Loser years ago that just pulled a contestant off of their medication, antidepressants and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, what are you doing? You're not a psychiatrist. You can't just do that. Like, the woman had like a practice and just was suicidal. You can't play with brain chemistry like that. You need to consult with a psychiatrist. She's got to be tapered off this medication. Or you've got doctors that, you know, oh, hold on. You know, let me practice endocrinology and put you on thyroid medication without knowing the first thing about your thyroid. So you need to see the appropriate doctor. It's like, literally, as if you said to me, I'm going to go to a defense attorney for my divorce. No, you don't do that. So, yeah, if you have a doctor that's practicing, you're approaching them about a type of medicine that they don't practice, then, yeah, you might hear that. You need to see the appropriate doctor. Go to an endo. Call your gyno. Call Dr. Van Hurley's office.
Okay, great. And yeah, because the thing is that, you know, even besides all that, I know that the one thing that does help me occasionally feel better is to work out. So I will push myself, and even if I have to back off my high-intensity cardio just so I can get through an hour of working out, I'll do it. Thing is that, I mean, like I was saying in the email, it's just that the water weight just makes me feel like I'm taking two steps forward
honey,
and a step back.
I can help you with that. That's really simple. For those kinds of PMS symptoms, you want high potassium foods, the first, you know, when you're PMSing, so coconut water, leafy greens, bananas. You could even go and get something like Electromix. It's literally just a potassium and magnesium, I think. No calories in it, and put it in your water because potassium helps flush out bloat, reduce your sodium to 1,500 milligrams, nothing salty, avoid alcohol. Exercise, take the primrose oil, and if you're starting to feel tired, make sure that you get a little grass-fed red meat, provided you're not vegan, in your diet so that you've got that iron in there to help you with any borderline anemia you might get from overly, you know, bleeding.
Right.
And there you go. There are the basics. What you're describing, though, is beyond that. And that's why, you know, you can try all my pointers, but then please get yourself checked, okay?
I absolutely will, but yeah, I just really want to, you know, help myself to push and in between, you know, getting the help I need, but I just want this stuff to hold me back, you know?
It won't, honey. It's not, but go to the doctor and rule out anything dangerous. Then you can employ my simple, easy-to-follow tips that'll deal with bloating, okay?
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad if I hear from the best, I'm going to go do it, so I'll go do it.
Do it! Do it. All right.
Okay.
Gee
whiz. All right, thank you so much, Jillian.
All right, honey. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, man. You cannot screw around with that stuff. early detection. God forbid there was like a cyst or a tumor or who knows, man. By the way, getting in control of your biochemistry or your hormone balance is going to help you prevent any sort of dangerous issue down the road.
But she, I get what she's saying, though. People just poo-poo it. It's like, oh, period cramps. Oh, you know, you call into her. Yeah, sorry.
No. It's like, if you know there's something wrong, you need to keep pursuing it until you get your answer. You know when there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
And then if they do your blood work and they go, oh, you're fine. All right, try sleeping, try incorporating better nutrition, try work. If it's still not better, you need to see a different doctor. You need to keep looking. No, sorry. And regular checkups, for God's sake. So important. Get your checkups regularly. Stay on top of that stuff.
I still get my, you know what?
Yep. Checkups?
Nope, my, you know, Aunt Flo.
Why are you sharing that?
Well, because I'm old. I'm 53. I still get Aunt Flo still comes to town. Yeah. Every month on the dot. And my doctor, he goes, really? Yeah, you're so old. And I said, maybe I should. I said maybe I should have a baby. He goes, you're too old to have a baby.
I remember. Yeah. Too old for a baby.
Too old for a baby.
Okay.
Yeah. On the dot. Aunt Flo. I'm going to go into the record books, I think. I don't think there's that many. I think you're usually stopped by now, aren't you? 53? Although there was that lady, that Italian lady. Didn't she have a baby at like 60-something? What's that all about? That must have just been a stray egg floating around in her stomach and just went, hello, my baby! And then, you know, she had relations. That's what happens. She had relations with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And this renegade egg.
Well, God knows you aren't having any relations, so I guess we don't got to worry about Ben comes Janice in the baby carriage anytime soon.
That's right, ain't no relations.
Yeah.
But I got renegade eggs.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know
quite what to do with this information.
I don't know, yeah.
Well,
yeah, I feel like you go out of your way to make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I do. You have issues with the area. And
why
I think you should.
Do I need to talk about
area? No, I have to say area because if I said anything else, she'd flip and go through the we had a double glass door in the studio. She'd crash her head through both and scream out of here and run home if I said anything besides the area.
I would die.
She wouldn't run, though.
Yes, I would.
Oh, are you
kidding?
Oh, my
God. No, especially if she said the V word.
All you'd
which
see is
just
the vapor of her sweatpants.
No,
just be
whoosh.
The first season.
It's true, dude.
She
can't
deal with it.
Can't not. No. Uh-uh.
I think, no, you know what, Jillian?
No,
I
won't do it.
For 2013.
I would do. I would crash
Let's. I think your project for 2013 is to figure out why you have the issues with that.
I don't think it's an issue. I think that it's just like, why does everybody need to hear that us talk about, you know, that full, you know, periods and things? And
oh my God, you are gotta be kidding me.
You are gotta be kidding me.
You're making a judgment call on what people should and shouldn't hear.
I just don't know that they're like, you know what I want to know about Janice's period. I mean, really? I want to, like, right now, I bet they're puking out of their car window. Some innocent woman with headphones on listening to this just vomited on the guy next to her on the subway. She just went, I'm sorry, sir. And then he goes, what's the matter? She's got the flu. No, Janice is talking about her period. Really?
I just said a pee squirt.
You just, well, see, now you're just making it worse. Now she just, like, heaved again. I mean, what do you think?
Just,
like, they don't listen for this.
I don't say it to be rude. I say it to say that, oh, well, that maybe somebody out there at 53 also might be having Aunt Flo to come to town and didn't want to feel alone. I'm just trying to make friends.
And no wonder you don't have any. This is why, you see, Brittany?
They don't come over for tea.
This is why they don't come over for tea. This is why. It's not because she doesn't live in Michael Landon's house. It's because this is her topic of conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or she's ripping.
She's ripping farts outside the. What? I was trying to have a business call, and she ripped farts so loud. I'm not kidding. Brittany's head almost exploded. Isn't that right, Brittany?
It's so true.
Well, better. I told you, when I eat kale, something happens to my stomach.
Brittany thought you soiled your shorts. Brittany goes, Janice just herself, Jill. And I'm in the middle of a phone call with the people from JillianMichaels.com talking about all the ways we can, like, beef up the website in the new year. And Brittany goes, Janice, just shit yourself, Jill. You need to get off the phone. Serious as a heart attack. Like, she genuinely thought that we needed to go to, like, Kmart and get you another pair of pants. I was like,
Kmart.
Target. I don't know.
You know, you just slide those in any way you can. You didn't even have to think about it. It just came in just like the ebb and tide. Just like slam. You just slam me against the rock. She couldn't say, like, Barney's. No, she had to say Kmart. Yeah.
Well, why the hell are we going to get you a nice pair of pants from Barney's when you're just going to shit in them again?
I opened the door and put my rear end out.
But my question is, why did you have kale when you know you were going to be in a locked room with us all day?
Good question.
It was an accident. I was...
an accident? What happened? Were you just walking through the airport and a frigging head of kale flew into your mouth?
No, it's just... I mean... When I come down here, I come down for a couple of days. And I know when I fly back home, if I leave any vegetables in my crisper, they're going to be gone. So I cram all the vegetables as much as I can the day before I leave. And I had this beautiful bag of kale, and I was not going to go to waste. So I put a little oil and vinegar and just sat there and ate a bowl of kale.
The whole bag.
The whole bag.
Oh, man.
That's why I've had problems today.
Well, why don't you take, like, Beano?
Now it's become our problem.
Why would you want me to take Beano?
So you don't rip ass all over the studio, man. What do you mean, why do I want you to take Beano? Because you're burning freaking holes in the walls, dude. What are you talking about? All right, we effed up our Secret Santa. We needed a Secret Santa, some Beano in her. Jesus.
We'll slip it in her bag.
Please do.
I'm tired now. My head hurts.
You're tired. Your head hurts? We've been living and working in a toxic waste dump for the last 2 hours. And your head hurts. My God.
Okay. I'm sorry. I am sorry.
Yeah, you seem real broken up about it.
No, as I was eating the kale, I went, you know what, Janice, this is probably a mistake. But I just couldn't stop.
Did you fart on the plane?
Yes.
I hate those people that do that. Oh, my God. I almost asphyxiated the last time I was flying back from New York. I truly thought I was going to pass out. I had to literally put my elbow over my nose because I was like, this is burning holes in my lungs.
And you said first class.
And whoever it was farted his butt off all the way across the country. I couldn't believe it. I literally thought the walls of the plane were going to melt. I mean, there was a moment when I gave the side eyes to the stewardess and she just looked at me and she was like, I'm so sorry. And I was
so
like,
sorry,
I almost knocked the goddamn seat. Oxygen mask off the top of the thing and started breathing through it in the event of an emergency. You know those? Yeah. Holy mother. God, it's a closed tube, dude.
I don't know.
Anyway, all right.
Right.
Bye.
Well, bye.
Bye.
Somewhere there's speaking, it's already coming in. Oh, and it's rising at the back of your mind. You never could get in unless you were fed in. Now you're here and you don't know why. But under skin knees and the skin marks past the places where you used to.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.